2 Samuel chapter 11, a familiar passage. 2 Samuel chapter 11. And one of the things in Sunday school, we've been going through 1 Samuel, and we're going to go right on in from 1 Samuel into 2 Samuel. I don't know if the Lord leads, we'll go right into 1 and 2 Kings. But we cover a chapter each Sunday school hour, and it's a good lesson for us. There's a lot of good lessons for us going through these things. But here we haven't got to this yet, and so my Sunday school class is going to get a sneak preview of a future class and a future lesson. But the passage here is about David and Bathsheba and the danger of seeing what you're not supposed to see. The danger of being where you're not supposed to be. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. We're just going to read the first five verses or so. Starting with verse 1 in 2 Samuel chapter 11. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when the kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. I want you to, if you don't have this underlined and you write in your Bible, I encourage you to underline this last few words. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it says, and it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many blessings. And Lord, we just ask you to move in a special way. And Lord, once again, I'm not worthy to stand in your stead. Lord, I just pray for you to get me out of the way and let me be the mouthpiece of the Holy Spirit. Let him speak through me. Keep me out of his way. And Lord, keep me in your will. You have a message for your people tonight. And Lord, I have well within my power to mess it all up. Please don't let me do that. Lord, let us hear from you, not from me. And Lord, let us know that it's from your book and your spirit. And sink it deep in our heart that we can learn the lessons that you have from this unfortunate event that took place in the life of David. For it's in that mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I look at this particular passage, and this morning we were talking about Thomas not being at the Sunday night service when Jesus showed up. And there's some things that we don't get when we're not where we're supposed to be. I mentioned this morning, and this is one of the principles that I've stood on, and I really believe that if we get this right, it'll help us throughout our lifetime. God does not send your blessings to where you are. God sends your blessings to where you're supposed to be. And if you're there, you get them. And if you're not there, you don't get them. And remember the story about Thomas. Thomas wasn't there that Sunday night. Jesus showed up with the other 10 disciples. Why 10 disciples? Judas had committed suicide. He had hung himself. and Thomas wasn't there. That leaves 10 other disciples. And what we see here is the fact that Thomas wasn't there and he didn't get to see Jesus. He didn't get the blessings of being encouraged. He didn't get the gladness that the other disciples got. He didn't get the peace. He didn't get the purpose. Jesus said, even as the Father sent me, so send I you. And he didn't get the power because Jesus breathed on them the Holy Ghost. So just like Thomas, he wasn't where he was supposed to be. Here we see the danger of being where you're not supposed to be. Here David, the Bible clearly says, it says at the time when the kings go forth to battle. But the sad part about that was the fact that David tarried in Jerusalem. And I want you to get this in the fact that David being in Jerusalem was not what God wanted, because it created a series of events that proved to be destructive, not only to David, but to his family, to his kingdom. But it all started with the fact that he stayed when he should have gone. I want you to understand, there are places that God wants you and God wants me. You're going to get a blessing being in God's house on His day when we have services here, not because of me, okay? Nothing about me is going to bless you. It's God's book and God's message through the Holy Spirit. I'm just smart enough. I'm not that smart, but I'm just smart enough to stay out of God's way and let Him try to use me. Okay? I'm no more than the stick in Moses' hand, okay? There was no power in that rod. But God said that I'm going to use that rod. And I just want the Lord to use me. And He'll use any one of us if we let Him.
Amen.
Any one of us. He's got a plan for every one of us. But remember something. Not only are you missing the blessing when you're not where you're supposed to be, like Thomas, but you can also receive a curse for being where you're not supposed to be, like David. And so what we see here is the fact that the first point was David stayed behind. We don't know why he stayed behind. The Bible does not tell us. Maybe he was tired. Maybe he was sick. Maybe there was something else going on. Hey, the problems of the kingdom and all were weighing heavy on him. I understand that. Maybe he couldn't sleep that night because he was wondering about the battle. Because he's used to being in leading the battle. I want to tell you, one of the things that a church needs, as well as a country needs, as well as an army needs, as a man that God can talk to. And that will do God's will regardless of what it is. But David delegated to Joab, but God wasn't going to talk to Joab because what? David was the Lord's anointed. And the Lord's going to use his anointed. There's a reason he anoints somebody. And what he did here is the fact that he delegated to Joab. He said, you go. I don't know. Like I said, I'm not going to speculate on why. But the Bible doesn't tell us why. But he'd have been better off to be with the battle, at the battle with the army, rather than where he was. Because he stayed behind. The first point, he stayed. The second point, look at verse 2, and it says, and it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. So it started with the fact that he stayed, and then the second point was he saw. You know, that's the devil's trick. The devil's going to put things in front of your eyes and in front of my eyes that are going to destroy our minds if we let it. And we have to be very careful. I mentioned it last week about the danger of the internet. There are a lot of people that don't realize just what some dangerous websites are going to do to their life. Because what happens is the devil will set a website before you and say, well, I can look at this, and nobody will even know. Guess what? God knows. Guess what? There are things on that internet that are going to mess your head up. It's going to destroy you. It's going to twist your mind. I've seen it time and time again. One of our college students I know of got caught up in pornography. And it messed him up pretty good. Messed his ministry up. And he's just a college student. I've heard of it doing that same thing to pastors. Guess what? It all starts with seeing something you're not supposed to see. David just simply wasn't busy enough. Something was on his mind. He should not have been there. He stayed behind and he saw. And then what did he do? Then he sent. He sent after Bathsheba. Guess what? He's used to being king. I'm king. I'm supposed to have anything I want. I'm somebody special. I want you to know, hey, as a child of God, we are somebody special. But there are still things you're not supposed to have. There's still things you're not supposed to see. There's still places you ought not be. And God's going to try to help you to avoid those situations if you let Him.
Amen.
But just like a thorny hedge that the Bible talks about, a thorny hedge is not one you can't break through. You just pay a price when you go through it. There are some of those bushes that we'd play around as kids. We didn't realize there were thorns in there. But sometimes we found out the hard way. Or somebody'd throw the football and they'd know there were thorns there, and we're running to catch the football right at the thorny hedge or the bush. And boy, we pull out, we got to get people to help us pull those thorns out. Hey, God's got some thorny hedges around things, dangerous things in our lives. And He's doing that because He does not want you going that direction. And I'll be honest with you, we ought to pray for God to put some thorny hedges around some dangerous things to keep us in His will. Because we all have tendencies to kind of let our minds stray and say, well, I know I shouldn't do this, but... Well, you ought to slap yourself real hard when that's coming, because that'll hurt a whole lot less than crossing the line with God. And so what we see here is the fact that David not only saw, he not only stayed, he saw, and he sent, but then he sinned. He sinned what? With another man's wife. And I want you to know, this wasn't just somebody. I preached on this, I think back in May, on the loyal soldier. Uriah was a special, special man. The loyalty of Uriah the Hittite is rare in our world today. Because he absolutely refused, even when he had an opportunity to come back and stay in his house, he refused to go back because his heart was with the battle, with the soldiers fighting the battle. Uriah the Hittite is also listed in 2 Samuel chapter 23 among David's mighty men. Think about that. He's one of David's mighty men, and David betrayed him. Not only by committing adultery with his wife, but also by ending up killing him. David thought he could hide it. I want you to know, you and I have things in our life. We all are tempted. The devil's, he's after you. He's after me. He wants to destroy us.
Right.
And we're fooling ourselves if we think we're exempt. Because he doesn't like you. There are people watching every one of us. They're watching to see if what you say about Jesus, what you say about the Bible, what you believe about Jesus is real. And if he can get you to fall, those people watching you, they're going to say, I knew it wasn't real. Hey, that's true. It's very true. These children need to know that there is somebody willing to take a stand for Jesus. They need a parent to love them, a parent to stand right, a parent to teach them right, even though the world's going to teach them all the lessons of hell. Because they need it even more so than my kids needed it. And my kids needed it even more than I did. And their children are going to need it even more still. See, one of the dangerous things is we don't see that far ahead. Preacher, I can't imagine me slipping that far. Hey, that's the devil's plan. The devil's plan, hey, the devil had the plan. I see the hand of the devil in here, even though his name's not mentioned. The devil's hand was to get David, and he said, hey, David stayed back. Now would be a good time to get Bathsheba to get out there and bathe. Now Bathsheba's out there, and she's bathing, so now I'm going to disrupt David's sleep and get him to walk out on the roof. You think the devil don't think like that? I guarantee he does. He'll use anything he can to destroy a child of God. And he'll even use the truth if it works to his benefit. And what took place here is the fact that we need to learn from David's sin. Because if you study out what took place, number one, the baby died. After David sent Uriah back into the heat of the battle, sent a message with Uriah back to Joab, and Joab sent him on the front line, and then they retreated and left him there by himself, and he died. The Bible says that God said that it's as if you killed him yourself. No different than if you put a sword in him yourself, basically what the Lord was saying. And because of this sin, what took place was the fact that David had one son rape one of his daughters. Another son killed the son that raped his daughter. And then that son ended up being killed in a rebellion trying to take the kingdom from David. All of these are consequences of one simple decision by David. He stayed behind when he should have gone. Don't think that the little decisions won't come back to bite us, because they will. The little decisions, sometimes we decide, well, I'm not going to go to church tonight. Hey, there might be somebody there that you are supposed to meet. I think about a Sunday night service at Landmark Baptist Church probably about 15 years ago. And Sharon and I were there I was on staff at the time, and they had their mission service, and they had, I don't know how many Filipino people there that night, probably, it seemed like it was about 20 or 25. And all of a sudden they started singing, and they were walking through the church as they were singing, "Thank you for giving to the Lord." I was a life that was changed. And Sharon and I had a discussion. We didn't know what the Lord had in store for us. But as we were driving home that Sunday night, she and I were talking about the fact that the Lord might call us to plant churches. The Lord used that service to touch our hearts to try to plant churches. I don't know if he could have gotten used another service, but he did that particular service. And he reached and touched us. What happens if we don't miss that? If we miss that service? Hey, if you're not where you're supposed to be, you are where you're not supposed to be. Okay? You can't have it both ways. And so we were supposed to be there that night, and the Lord touched our hearts about planting churches. We didn't know for sure until a few years later that he was going to call us to task on that. But I want you to know what happens if you don't invite somebody to church. Maybe they're just ready to get saved. Maybe somebody comes to church and we've got a missionary and the Lord calls them to the mission field. I remember hearing about one of my professors mentioned that he was at Bible college. And going to Bible college, they got to know the other students and where the Lord was calling them. And this man knew exactly where God called him from the time he entered Bible college till the time he graduated. He said, "The Lord has called me to this particular village in South America, and we're going to go there, and we're going to minister to these people and win them to Christ." And every time they talk, that's exactly where the Lord has called me, at this village in South America. And he was just absolutely positive that's where the Lord was calling him. And as they went on through school, this man fell for this one young lady at Bible college. And so they started talking to her about how's it going to be in that particular village in South America. And she said, "Well, no, I'm not going to be a missionary. Lord hadn't called me to be a missionary." And so he continues pursuing this young lady. He says, "Oh, the Lord will change your mind. Lord will change your mind." And so they ended up getting married. And guess what? He never goes. Well, and then the Lord, you know, sometimes the Lord gives you the rest of the story, like Paul Harvey likes to say. The rest of the story was, this particular professor was in a meeting in South America, or in Miami, and there were a lot of people from South America that were there, and it turns out that he got to meet some people from this particular village that this student that he went to school with was called to. And the couple, young couple, got saved at that meeting. And then they asked him, "Why didn't God send somebody to our village sooner? Because now our grandparents are in hell and they could have been saved." And this professor didn't have the heart to tell him that God already had. And the man didn't go. He messed his life up. He messed his ministry up. He messed his calling up because he married the wrong person. It happens more than you know. I can tell you for a fact that I didn't marry the wrong person. Okay? This lady that I'm married to, at 20 years old, when we first started dating, she was already a fifth grade girls' Sunday school teacher. That impressed the stew out of me. And she has been willing to step out, leaving comfort, leaving financial security behind, and trust in the Lord. And he's taken care of us. And he's shown us some mighty, mighty miracles, both in our lives, in our churches, in our families, and those that we've been in contact with. And I'm saying all that to say this, but what happens if we're not where we're supposed to be? What happens to you if you're not where you're supposed to be? Hey, when we step out of the umbrella of God's protection and God's blessings and God's plan, we're free game for the devil. God's trying to protect us from the devil's vices. And David stepped outside of God's plan, and he wasn't prepared for what he faced. Yeah, David was, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. But remember something, David was still a man. And we're still human. Don't ever get to a point where you think you're, oh, I can handle that. You are ripe for a fall when you get that mindset. You are ripe for a fall. I've mentioned it before, but I won't mention it again, because there was a preacher in Kansas City. Thought he could handle everything. Then he has an affair with a woman in his church. Then he ends up murdering her husband. I know for a fact, because I preached for the man before all that happened. Hey, guess what? Don't ever get to a point where you think you've got it all together. All it takes is the devil to pull one little string, and it'll all come unraveled. What you and I need to do is to make sure, make real, real sure we're where we're supposed to be, doing what we were supposed to do. That was one of the two rules we had at Bible college when I was a student. And then as dean of students, that was one of the rules that they told us to enforce, those two rules. Be where you're supposed to be, do what you're supposed to do, and guess what? That'll keep you out of a lot of trouble. Keep you out of a lot of trouble. What we need to do is learn from David's mistake. I've always believed that studying people is a good thing. Studying people is a good thing, because one of the things that I can learn from this lesson is David made a serious mistake. And you know what? I can learn from David's mistake so I don't have to make that stupid mistake. You can learn from everybody. You know that? You watch good people. Look at the Bible. I love Daniel in chapter 1 of Daniel. Daniel says, the Bible says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he was not going to defile himself. That's a good lesson for us to learn. And if you're going to make sure that you follow Daniel's example, you don't have to worry about following David's. The trouble here is, it was a little decision, seemingly, but the devil used it and destroyed David and his testimony and his family and Uriah's family and so much in the kingdom, to a point where God says that he had given the enemies of God an opportunity to mock the Lord. That's what happens when we mess up. And people that you're praying for, people that you want to see saved, people that we love, need us to do it right. Because they might not get saved if we don't. And your prayers are going to mean more to God if you do it right, and you stand right, and you stay right, and you stay close to the Lord. The most important thing is you keep those little decisions right. It'll save you a lot of grief, because they won't snowball. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. And Lord, I thank you for the lesson that we see in David. I hate what an awful, awful indictment it is on David and his family. But Lord, I sure am glad that I can learn from it. I'm glad that it's in your book. I know David wishes it would. But Lord, I sure am glad that we can learn from it. Lord, there are decisions that need to be made tonight during the invitation. And Lord, we know that sometimes we make small decisions and we don't realize how far-reaching the ramifications of those decisions may be. But Lord, I pray for you to help us to make the small decisions right and the big decisions right, and just stay where we're supposed to be. And Lord, you clearly teach us where you want us. And Lord, we just thank you. Draw us close to Jesus through all of this invitation. For it's in that mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen.